Coming up on show 500, the Model 3s are in the UK. 3.6 billion litres of fuel saved, and Kona EV goes number one. Well, those stories and many more coming up on today's podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world, whether it's the first show you've listened to or the 500th. Poor you. Welcome to EV News Daily, Friday 14th of June, end of the working week edition. My name is Martin Lee. I've been through every EV story I can find to bring you the news today, and it's been a busy day today on Friday because I've been at the Cricket World Cup. It's a fantastic event to go to, a one-day cricket event. England, West Indies today in somewhere called Southampton in the south of England. And a great day out. Started off tipping down with rain and ended up with me getting a very sunburn on my forehead today because the sun came out. Wonderful. Thank you very much to MyEV.com for helping make this show. You know, where they're based in the US, it's somewhat sunnier than we're having here in the UK, a rather rainy summer at the moment. But regardless of the weather, they're very busy building a platform for you to buy and sell EVs on. In the USA, if you're all about EVs, you're all about myev.com. Well, for show 500, I welcome two new Patreon supporters, new producer Bill Clisham. Hello, Bill. Thank you for supporting the podcast. And new executive producer Rob Hermans, who wrote me a little note, and I hope you don't mind if I read it out. Rob says, I've been listening to the podcast for a while, though, learned a lot, and I feel in touch with the most recent developments in EV land. With 500th episode coming up, I wanted to become a patron of the show. Thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it. And all of our patrons that keep this podcast going, thank you so much. But particularly for show 500 as well. I remember distinctly getting to number 50. I know I have real vivid memories of recording number 100, and I think 150 as well. Between then and now, it's been a bit of a blur. I sort of lost track of, you know, I didn't really mark 200, 300, 400. But 500 podcasts covering EVs has been a real privilege to spend time with you. And here's to the next 500, eh? But not to be too self-indulgent, let's move on to the news. My weekend watch, by the way, if you're going to catch up with something on YouTube over the weekend, my one recommendation would be Bjorn Nyland's channel is on fire at the moment, but he does a Model 3. He's got a Model 3 Performance, and he takes it on the German Autobahn. Reminder, no speed limits on the German Autobahn. Well, bits of it anyway. And he tops out at 233 kilometres an hour because he hasn't had the carbon fibre spoiler fitted yet, so Tesla haven't fully unlocked the full top speed of that for stability issues. When he gets the spoiler, he'll go to 260, I think maybe more. And so it's great. It's like 20 minutes of Bjorn just doing what he does and swearing at drivers who are sitting in the outside lane while he's trying to. The purpose of the video, by the way, was to drive his Model 3 so hard he was trying to get a little bit of loss of performance. And because in the S and the X, the Model S and the Model X, if you really drive them hard on the Autobahn, you can get them to lose a little bit of top-end performance, and you get some restriction on the amount of power delivery until the batteries cool down again. But can he achieve that in the Model 3? I'll let you watch it for yourself. Okay, let's talk Model 3. The Model 3s have arrived in the UK. It's been a three-plus year wait. So lots of excitement from where I'm recording the podcast at the moment. A Tesla dealer here, not official, but, you know, like he sells used Teslas, is called R. Simmons, and is only about a 5-minute drive from where I am, says on Twitter today, trucks now heading from Dover to London with the first right-hand drives for delivery next week. Next Thursday, the 20th, is D-Day for my Model 3 Performance. That's R. Simmons speaking, not me, by the way. First UK batch were on a boat called Grand Dahlia, if you are tracking Tesla ships. Lots of people are and doing a fabulous job of it. Well, the white option is back for the interior, by the way. Elon saw some complaints online saying he would reinstate the black and white interior on the UK design studio. And true to his word, it is indeed back. And still only two options, though. You've either got Standard Range Plus or Performance here in the UK. In the US, you've got three. In the UK, you've got two. Right-hand drive models, of course. The very first ones in the world will be driven by customers next Thursday. By the way, the smallest least important bit of the news today, if you are anywhere outside the US, the Supercharger route planner doesn't have Model 3 added yet, because I was just playing about on Tesla's UK website today, trying to plan a journey from where I live to Italy for later in the summer. There's an EV event happening. I was chatting to a couple of friends a couple of weeks ago about the European EV scene, and we were looking at a European road trip later in the year and head to Italy, actually, and go check out an EV event. And I was doing a bit of route planning over the weekend, doing some work on that, and I noticed that the Tesla Supercharger route planner only has S and X options available. I'm sure by next Thursday, when Model 3s are on sale in the UK, they will add the Model 3 to that as well. It was easy enough to hack it, if you like. I just changed the Tesla. I changed my VPN to my US VPN, so I had a US IP address, and then changed the supercharging route planner to the US version, and then just put in the same two addresses, and I could plan it driving a Model 3. Anyway, let's move on. The transition to electric vehicles has saved a lot of fuel in the US, specifically 3.6 billion litres of fuel in the US, a third of that saved last year alone. New figures from the US Department of Energy shows, that's according to Bridie at driven.io. She says that with more than 1.2 million light, plug-in and pure battery electric vehicles now sold in the US, that amounts to 25 billion miles or 40 billion kilometres driven by those cars since 2010. Fuel consumption by light vehicles has been reduced by about a quarter of 1%. Electric vehicles are more efficient, even if you power them on coal-fired power stations. Even so, the source of the electricity does have to be considered. In California, 40% of electricity generation is consumed by the transport sector, which seems high to me, but almost half of all of that power is by transport, according to EIA data from 2017. Congratulations to the US. If you are listening in the US, you have helped and you drive an EV or a plug-in. You have helped save 3.6 billion litres of fuel. Right, moving on. Every day it seems like there's some more videos coming out from the Nürburgring of the Porsche Taycan. They really are. Porsche are really giving that a good old going over, the Nordschleifer. Confirmed for a September reveal, the company's first pure electric vehicle has been caught once again traveling around the Nürburgring. Those hilarious exhausts. They've got four silver fake exhausts on the Taycan. It doesn't fool anybody anymore, so now it's just become a joke that whenever they take the Taycan out to test, they've got these really stupid four exhausts on the back. You're not fooling anybody, Porsche. But maybe it's just their sense of humour. Maybe they're leaving them on there now till September. What the heck, it's funny. Adrian Padano for Motor1.com today says you might be tempted to say that the zero-emission sedan was not wearing any camouflage if you watch the video, but it is. It's pictured going around the track. It's pictured on public roads as well. Lots of black tape still on the body. Lots of stickers masking the lights later in the video. You can see it even go past a gas station, and it's got lots of camouflage on it. The Volkswagen Group always keep their cars pretty much under camouflaged. No change there with the Porsche Taycan. But I'm going to put a link in the show notes if you want to see, because this is definitely a power run. The driver wearing his safety gear, got his helmet on, and really giving it the full beans around the circuit. Let's move on to Fiat Chrysler. Fiat Chrysler Automotive, or FCA, as you'll hear it called, has done two agreements for new EV solutions in the pure electric vehicle world. The first one is enabling Fiat Chrysler dealers to offer charging solutions and services to retail and business customers, including research and testing of new technologies. Mike Manley, who is the CEO of Fiat Chrysler, said this, and I quote, "Partnerships we've made build on the e-mobility strategy we've announced last year to build our five-year business plan. We're assembling an ecosystem of partners, products and services across multiple markets to meet and exceed a rapidly evolving expectations of our customers in electrified vehicles," end quote. Well, the primary objective of these new partnerships they've done them with, I don't know how to say this company's name. Is it NLX? E-N-E? Do I say E-N-E-L or is it Enel or Enel? Who knows? Enel and NG are the two partnerships they've done. They're going to offer private and public partners charging solutions and supporting the EV sales of Fiat Chrysler, which if you're thinking, have they got any? Well, yeah, we're talking the Fiat 500 pure electric and the Jeep Renegade plug-in. This includes offering customers the option of installing home charging points like wall boxes for their specific requirements and smart energy management as well. In addition to home charging points, customers are going to be offered cost-effective and cost-efficient solutions to public charging services. FCA and its partners are going to be collaborating on the development of apps to enable you to locate a public charger and book and pay for a charging session. I'm not sure how you book a charging session, but maybe this is some new technology they're developing. Booking sounds like reserving a table at a restaurant. That's not really how chargers work. If you book it and you turn up and someone's on it, you can't say, I think you'll find I've booked this charger. I wonder how well that would go down. Imagine if you turn up to a charger and someone else is charging and you go, I've used my new app from Fiat Chrysler and I booked this for 8 p.m. It's now 10 past 8. I require you to stop charging. I'm sure that person charging their car would tell you to go do one. Well, anyway, they say that they're going to have an app to allow you to book a charging session and pay for it as well. Let's move on to news about the Jaguar I-Pace. Look, one of my favourite, I've never driven the Jaguar I-Pace. I've only ever sat in one, but oh my goodness, what a gorgeous car. They've really built a fabulous EV. Jaguar Land Rover, please build some more. Well, Brandon Turkus at Motor1.com has now driven the Jaguar I-Pace and written a really extensive review, so I encourage you to go read that. If you've got time this weekend, if you do have time to do a bit of reading online, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to this one at Motor1.com. Fabulous piece of writing by Brandon. He says, with 394 horsepower, the I-Pace's twin electric motors sit neatly between the e-tron and the EQC in terms of the power. And yet, the Jag is quicker than both its German rivals. 4.5 seconds to go 0 to 60, unlike 5.5 seconds in the Audi e-tron and 4.8 in the EQC. Well, the way the Jaguar gets to that fast speed, though, is similar to the Germans. An electric car with its two motors putting out pure torque from the moment you hit on that accelerator pedal, immediately available. Part of that is down to a single speed automatic transmission, really quick to engage, no waiting, and that torque just hits the ground. The I-Pace's handling does differ, says Brandon, from its rivals, though. It's a charming dance partner, is how he describes driving the I-Pace, tipping the scales at a very light £4,800 or so. Very low centre of gravity, as all EVs have. The I-Pace is not as big as some. If you look at the pictures, then you see it in real life. It's not as big as you think. 2 inches lower than the EQC. Aggressive air suspension can deliver a really sharp and flat handling characteristic. You want to toss the I-Pace around and have some fun with it. Take advantage of the quick steering and how it darts around the road. Last weekend, I was at the Fully Charged Live Festival, and Jaguar were there with their I-Pace, and they had one of those experiences where you could drive the car, but you had to drive it from flashing cone to flashing cone, a bit like a driving challenge, if you like. You had to go through two cones, which were flashing, and it looked like I didn't have a chance to have a go myself, because it was a crazy weekend, and I was super busy. Talking of that, by the way, if you want to listen to the next Saturday special we do, it'll be with not one, but two people. Somebody that sells you EVs and somebody that services them. And that'll be this week's Saturday special. Look out for that show very soon. Right, moving on to VW news. Volkswagen announced the return of the IDR. That is the crazy fast car that conquered Pikes Peak and now is returning to the Goodwood Festival of Speed, the 4th to the 7th of July. It's going to defend its record EV time of 43.86 seconds from last year, says InsideEVs.com. While a year ago the German manufacturer used the same configuration as the Pikes Peak car that did it. This year, VW has been tinkering. It's got a smaller and lighter, more high-power battery pack for the almost 2 kilometre route up the Goodwood Hill. It's going to improve the record, but also set an all-time record for the track, says some people. That all-time track record was set by a Formula One driver called Nick Heidfeld, and he was driving the McLaren MP413. Did that in 1999 when the McLaren Formula One car drove up the Goodwood Hill. So, who knows, electric power could even beat that. And from hill climbs to taking a zero-emission ferry. And a hydrogen ferry called Water Go Round is under construction as we speak in the US, and it's found new funding for setting up a whole fleet of them. SWTCH Maritime is an investment platform for all kinds of electric maritime vessels, says electrive.com. They say that the first unit of a ferry, which will carry 84 passengers with hydrogen fuel cells, is under construction in California. Finished in September. Next step's going to be a 3-month trial in San Francisco Bay. The tanks will hold 264 kilograms of hydrogen. That's enough to run the ferry for 2 whole days, according to the manufacturers. For refilling the tanks, they're going to partner with a company called Clean Marine Energy, developing some charging infrastructure, some hydrogen infrastructure onshore. I'm going to put a link to Electrive in the show notes for you. Well, 3 more stories today, and let's talk Tesla. Electrek has learned that Tesla is delivering cars at a rate of 1,000 a day. As Electrek reported earlier this month, Tesla has got a big ambition, and it wants to deliver up to 36,000 cars in North America. Not this quarter, this month, the month of June. It would be a delivery record, and if they can do it, it would blow everyone's socks off. If they can get close, it would be amazing. Fred Lambert at Electrek says that according to sources familiar with the matter, Tesla's been delivering cars at a rate of 1,000 a day in North America so far this month. Furthermore, 7,000 more deliveries planned over the next 7 days and more last-minute deliveries expected over the last week of the quarter as buyers try to get deliveries before the federal tax credit goes down again. It's currently at $3,750, and it's important to keep in mind that even if Tesla doesn't get to 36,000, they are still delivering cars at such a crazy rate, a higher pace than any other automaker anywhere apart from outside China, and I can't think there's any single maker delivering more than 36,000 in a month by a huge margin in North America. At least Tesla is delivering more EVs. Tesla is delivering more EVs in just 3 days than GM does in a month. Now, when I saw this figure of up to 36,000, I thought they were talking the quarter. This is when Elon tweeted it earlier in the month, and you think, no. If you read the tweet again, he says 36,000 in the month of June. 1,000 a day in North America. But hang on, aren't they also delivering a ton to Europe? UK deliveries start next Thursday. The first right-hand drive models in the world in customers' hands. China is getting them as well. It's going to be really interesting. Wow. Well done, Team Tesla. And well done, Team Hyundai, as well, with the Kona going to number one in the relatively small car market of the Netherlands. But in May, the Dutch plug-in vehicle market had a really positive month. 2,688 registrations over the month. That's up almost 200% year on year. A plug-in share of 7.3% of the whole market. Year to date is about 15,500 cars and 8.3% plug-in share of the whole market, says Clean Technica. If you only look at pure battery electric vehicles, the share was 6.3% last month, 7% for the year. Surprisingly, the VW e-Golf was down in fourth place, but that's still, I think, really, really high. 227 units. 227 people last month bought an e-Golf when they know the ID3, a car that's not the e-Golf, don't call it a Golf, whatever you do, it looks like a Golf, drives like a Golf. Same price as a Golf. It's not a Golf. It's an ID3. Is on the way. And it's on the way very soon. And people are still, 227 of them, still buying e-Golfs. They're brave. And finally, let's talk Rivian, the company that is so good at the moment at getting some great publicity around the company. Not actually building or delivering EVs, but heck, they're getting a lot of investment. And are they good at getting good publicity? Now, we have an idea of what Rivian is going to do with batteries once they're no longer usable. Says Roadshow by CNET, Rivian announced this week it's teamed up with a foundation which funds solar power initiatives for a project using second life batteries, also known as a used EV battery that's done its time in an EV. The project will see the batteries as gateways to energy independence and renewable power generation, and it's going to kick off in Puerto Rico using the 135 kilowatt hour battery packs from its development vehicles. Rivian's taking the packs and moving them into small modules. They'll collect power from solar panels and reduce reliance on the grid. Like I say, Rivian is a company that is very, very good at making positive headlines. Not necessarily making EVs yet, because they're still trying to work out how to do that. But boy, oh boy, are they good. They haven't even made an EV yet, and they're getting headlines and idiots like me on podcasts talking about what they're going to do for second life batteries when they've not had a first life yet. They are very, very good at getting people talking about them. We wish them all the best. If they're half as good at making EVs as they are as making headlines, they're going to be good EVs. Let's talk about our question of the week this week that is not a question of the week. It's a question of several days, as somebody emailed me today. Question of the fortnight. On Sunday's show, we'll read out all the answers. I missed last week because I fully charged and I was going to... Long story. Question of the fortnight set by myev.com. Should EVs still qualify for incentives now they are increasingly popular? Email me hello@evnewsdaily.com or leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube if you want to or not. I mean, your choice. Well, thank you very much, 220 patrons. Is it 220? I should probably check. The pedant in me wants to get it right, so I'm opening Patreon as I talk and try and fill this time. I could just disrecord it, I could edit it. No, there's 221 patrons of the podcast. Thank you very much to all of you. Your generosity makes this show happen every single day. And thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts and Brad Crosby. And we'll add a third to the list very soon. If you want to find out what it's all about, patreon.com/evnewsdaily. There are 499 previous episodes. Thank you very much for listening to episode 500. I feel like it's been a fizzy one today. Partly serious and partly a little bit demob happy with getting to number 500. You can subscribe to get the next 500 shows if you're a glutton for punishment, first and free and automatically on your podcast app or on YouTube as well. Say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.